Come up, sidekick, backhand. Seriously? You need to start combining the flips and tumbles with the rest. You're wicked good with a crossbow, pal, but we all know you can't always fight at a distance. Agility, mobility, power. Right, Ani? This is right. Make her do it first. Sasha jabbed a finger at Riley. You want me to do it first? I'm first. Riley slapped her hands together, rolled her shoulders, flexed her knees a few times. Then she sprang forward, landing on her hands, tucked into a roll, a second roll, then pushed up, kicking one leg out to the right, her arm with its fisted hand to the left. Annika applauded. Don't encourage her, Sasha mumbled. You can do it, Sasha. Remember, tight, tight. Annika tapped a hand on Sasha's belly. Power there. Power in your legs. Okay. Shaking her arms, Sasha blew out a breath. Okay. Tight, tight, power, spring, roll, kick. Oh, God. She gave herself a short running start, threw her body over for the handspring. Annika nodded, then winced, because while the spring was very good, the roll went off-center, the second roll more off-center. So when Sasha tried to heave herself to her feet, she landed on her face. Damn it. 10 out of 10 for the face plant, Riley decided. Sasha rolled over, gave Riley the beady eye. You did the handspring very well. Annika crouched down, rubbed Sasha's shoulders. Right. No, I think left. This is left, yes? Holding up her left hand, Annika wiggled her fingers. You did the handspring, but then you tipped to the left on the roll, and more left on the next. You had no center, so no balance. I'll show you, slower than Riley. She stood, didn't bother with the running start, but seemed to fold over like water from a pitcher. Tight, tight in the center, she said as she tucked, rolled. Keep tight, knees go loose to push up. Fluidly, she flowed up to her feet, shot one leg out, one arm, held the pose like a statue. Can I just throw rocks at the bad guys? Sometimes, Annika smiled. But you can do this. I'll help you. Tight, tight, she repeated. Like squeezing. Try. This time, though she stayed on her feet, Annika moved with her. Gave Sasha a tiny nudge on the roll. Squeeze, tight, 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 and push. Sasha landed, wobbled, but landed, regained her balance, executed the kick and backhand. Good, so good. Annika applauded again. I tipped left again. I could feel it. But not so much as before. You pulled it off, Riley told her. Do it again. Okay, okay. Don't help me this time. If I fall on my face, I fall on my face. But I'm going to get this bastard. That's the spirit. Riley slapped her on the shoulder. She did it again, wobbled again, nearly overbalanced but pulled back. Together, Annika decided. All three. Oh boy, okay. Tight. A fist in the belly. Riley nodded. On three. 1, 2, 3. Sawyer stopped at the edge of the lemon grove.
Check it out.
With Doyle, he watched the three women spring, roll, spear up.
The brunette's got speed and form, Doyle commented. The blonde's got game, and she's coming along. But the mer-girl makes it look like a stroll on the beach. You'd think there'd be an adjustment for her, moving in water, on land. But either way, she just flows. Great legs.
Doyle started forward again as the three women discussed something with Annika gesturing with her hands. And stopped to watch when Riley shook her head, but backed up. And laced her hands into a basket. Annika ran toward her. Jumped to hit one foot in that basket.
And as Riley pushed up, flew into a perfect backflip to land in what Sawyer thought of as the superhero lunge. Low, one knee bent, the other leg cocked out, one hand resting on the ground.
I should be taking videos, Sawyer added.
Then Annika spotted them, leaped up to run forward. Come practice with us.
I could practice the rest of my life and not pull that off.
I can teach you.
Bet you could, Doyle put in. But we need to take a hike, get a better sense of where we are, our position, our weak spots.
Agreed, Riley nodded, then looked up at the wide blue sky.
But that's a big weak spot. We'll need to be ready for it.
Bran's working on it, and could probably use a break from that. I'll go tell him we're heading out. 10 minutes? Sasha asked.
Works for me.
Sawyer smiled at Annika.
You'll need shoes.
They set out with light packs, taking the narrow road up its steep incline first. The day, already warm, offered a baking sun over their bird's eye view of sea and sand, of houses jogging down the low slope, and their soft roses and whites and umbers. As they walked, Sawyer drew maps in his head. He was good at maps, had learned at his grandfather's knee. The compass, a gift, a charge, a legacy. Required knowledge of place and time. The hand that held it, the traveler, needed more than luck and magics. They passed groves of olives, of lemons, and he added them to his mental guide. The gardens, the houses with shuttered windows, the ones with windows open to the air. From their high view, Riley pointed toward the mainland. Capri used to be part of the mainland and was peopled during the Neolithic Age. Colonized by the Teleboi, then the Greeks of Cumae. The Romans took it over in 328 BC. But Augustus, 9th century, developed it. Temples, gardens, villas, the aqueducts. Tiberius, who came after him, built more. And the remains of his villa are on top of Monte Tiberio. We're heading that way, though it's a hike yet.
Have you been there? Sasha asked her.
Yeah, it's been a while. I came with my parents. Hell of a place, Villa Jovis. Even now, and more than worth exploring if that's what we're after. A god might enjoy having her own HQ in what remains of a Roman emperor's villa,
Bran speculated.
Yeah.
Riley thought of it while they continued the steep climb. It's got some grandeur left, but it's a long way from private. You see people going up, like us, people coming down. That's likely the destination. It's a big draw on the island.
The island's potholed with caves, Doyle pointed out.
It is. As she walked, Riley sent him a curious glance. Have you been here before?
I have. Longer ago than you. Petty wars. The English and French wanted Capri. Fought over it.
In 1806, French occupation overthrown by the English. In 1807, French take it back. Which side were you on?
Both.
He shrugged.
It was something to do. It's changed in 200 years. The roads, the houses, the funicular. But the land takes longer to change. I know some of the caves, the grottos.
The Grotta Azzurra, Annika beamed. It's so beautiful. I, too, visited with my family to bathe in the water and the light.
The Blue Grotto seems like a slam dunk for a water star, Sawyer imagined. Which is probably why it won't be.
Its light burns blue only after it's lifted. Now it waits, cold and quiet. They stopped, turned to Sasha. Bran laid a hand on her arm.
What else do you see?
Her. I see her through the smoke and broken mirrors. Nereza, the mother of lies. She'll make her palace in the dark, of the dark, and there forge a new weapon against us. Promises of power seeded on thirsty ground. She waters with blood. A new dog for a new day. Sasha fumbled for Bran's hand. How did I do?
You did well,
Headache.
No. No, I'm fine. I let it come. I can't bring it, but I can let it come. Your face is pale.
Digging in her pack, Annika took out a water bottle.
Water helps.
It does. So does food. And there's some up ahead. I smell pizza, Riley said.
Wolf knows, Sawyer commented.
That's exactly right. I vote lunch.
Riley's nose proved accurate. In under a quarter mile, they sat outside a little roadside trattoria.
Have you got your sketch pad? Sawyer asked Sasha.
Never leave home without it.
Can I borrow it a minute? I want to get something down while it's fresh.
Intrigued, Sasha pulled out her pad, a case of pencils. You never said you drew.
Not like you.
As the vote for pizza rounded the table, as beer and wine were served, he sketched out his map from memory. The curve of the land, the sweep of sea and beach, the rise of hills. He added the road they'd traveled, positions of houses, groves, fields. Riley leaned over to study the work.
That's pretty damn good, cowboy. You gotta know where you are, which is here, or the house is here. We came up this way, over, and now we're here.
He drew a compass rose at the bottom of the page.
What do we have if we go back and down?
You'd end up at the Piazzetta, or as it's known by locals, Kiatz. The square, little as the name indicates, is the social center and tourist haunt. Cafes, bars, and fanning out from it the narrow streets, the shops.
Shopping?
Annika interrupted Riley's explanation.
We can shop?
We'll need to eventually. Supplies, ammo. You'll get trinkets, Riley assured her.
Up here, that's the Marina Grande. Got it.
Sawyer penciled the name in. We'll pick up the boat, another RIB, our equipment, there in the morning. We have a van on tap if we need it, but I don't recommend driving here, van or bike, unless we have to. Public transpo's good. Plus, we have Sawyer if we need to get somewhere fast. The funicular goes from Capri Town to the marina if we need that. It's just getting there. Bus is probably the best way to get to the marina from the house.
Just how do we get weapons on a bus? Doyle demanded. I'll come up with something, Bran assured him.
Since the pizza came out then, hot and bubbly, it blocked an immediate argument. But sensing one coming, Sawyer took a stab.
We could hike it. Public transpo when and if. Legs otherwise. A reasonable compromise, Bran declared. We can see how it goes. I'll deal with the weapons either way, and we can consider the hike to the marina part of our morning calisthenics.
I like calisthenics, Annika said. I like pizza, and this wine is very nice. I can hike to shop.
She gave Sawyer an under-the-lashes smile.
You could go with me.
We should walk off lunch, Doyle put in, and get in an hour's weapons training. I bet there are shops around the marina, gorgeous. You'll get your chance.
I like my weapons.
She studied her bracelets, smiled at Bran and Sasha.
They're pretty. It's nice to have a day together. To practice, yes. To train and to plan. But just to walk in the sun with all the flowers and trees. To eat pizza. To just...
Just be,
Bran suggested, and plucked a starry little flower out of the air. With a laugh, Annika tucked the flower behind her ear.
Yes, to just be together. Here, where Sasha said to come, where Sawyer brought us. We're here.
She laid a hand on her heart.
I know we are meant to be.
Seventh daughter of seventh daughter knowing? Riley asked.
Yes, it may be. But I know, and I feel so strong that we'll find the Water Star, that whatever weapon is forged against us, it will never be enough. The dark cannot win, so the light must.
You're allied, Ani, Sawyer told her, and made her heart swell.
One of six. It's good to be one of six. Can I have more pizza?
Sawyer took a slice, slid it onto her plate.
All you want.
They hiked back for weapons training. Annika liked using her magic bracelets, and liked even more practicing with them in the lemon grove. The floating balls Bran conjured for her could slide and bob behind trees, try to hide, so she had to be quick and clever to deflect. And careful not to destroy, so he didn't have to stop his own training to make her more. She didn't mind sharing the grove. It smelled so nice. While the others practiced with bows. But when the time came for the guns, she couldn't pretend not to hear that awful sound. Bran said he blocked it so it couldn't reach outside the grove, but inside, the sharp, brutal sound boomed and echoed until she slipped away. She would practice more, alone, but she wanted to be away from that sound, from the stink the guns made. Because they excused her from using guns, she'd make up for it, be useful somewhere else. She missed the dog, and the chickens they had in Greece, for the company and for the tending. But though the garden here wasn't as big, it still required weeding. The house still needed order. Sawyer had shown her how to make the sun tea, so she searched the kitchen for what she needed. She learned well, she reminded herself, and could do this small task alone. She was here to learn as well as to fight and to find. She was here to help. She knew the water in the pot had to boil, and this took time. While she waited, she gathered laundry. Some clothes had the blood and gore from the last battle on Corfu. She would make them clean again. This also took time, considering the machine that washed clothes wasn't the same as the machine in the villa. She did what she thought was right, put the big glass jar in the hot water. She forgot the word Sawyer used, annoying herself. But this step was to make sure no bad things got into the tea or jar. Because Bran had taught her about herbs, she went outside, cut some as she'd seen Sasha do. She cleaned them, put them in the big glass jar. Once she'd added the water, put on the lid. She carried the jar out into the sun. Now the sun would do the work. And she could weed the vegetables and harvest the ripe ones, as she'd been taught. It would be so pretty, she thought, to live this way, without the training, the fighting. To tend a house, a garden, to make tea with the sun, to find a dog who liked to play. A house by the sea, so the water was always close. A place she could live with her friends, where she could share Sawyer's bed. Oh, how she wanted to learn what it was to mate with him. She could dream, she told herself. It hurt no one to dream. To dream of a house by the sea where she lived with her one true love and her friends, and all the worlds were safe from the dark. She knew most of it could never be. She had only three turns of the moon before the legs were no longer hers, and the sea once again her only home. But she could dream and do all she could to beat the dark. She straightened when Sasha crossed the lawn, put the basket of tomatoes and peppers on her hip. These were ready. Sasha took a look, nodded. They sure are. You've kept busy. The sun's making the tea. I used the mint and the plant that smells like lemons and the chamomile. Very nice combination. It looks pretty already, but it needs more sun time. Maybe, but when the rest come, they might not give it more. It's thirsty work. I think they plan a pool break. Gardening's thirsty work too. I bet you'd like a swim.
Always. I have laundry in the machine, but it's not the same machine. Can you make sure it's right?
I'll look on my way up.
For your suit?
No, actually. I'm taking a different break. I need to paint.
A vision?
No, I just need to paint, the way you need to swim. Her smile soft, Annika nodded.
Because it's what you are.
Exactly. But you know, I may bring my easel down here. I don't need alone as much as I did.
Then I'll bring out the glasses and the ice.
Sasha led the way inside, turned into the small laundry.
I did the soak with the salt for the blood, and the little bottle Bran made to help purify.
She went through the steps she'd taken as she pulled clothes out for Sasha's inspection.
You did everything just right. When they're dry, I can fold them like you showed me. After the break, I can get my suit and swim.
And after the break, Bran wants everyone to help, the way you did at the villa, with protection, drawing the curtain, and security.
There are brooms.
Good. This time you can help teach me, as I slept through the last round. And after that, when we're curtained and protected, we'll hold our first war council on Capri.
The men and Riley.
They're the most experienced, but you and I too, Annika. We've fought. We've bled. We all sit on the council now. She set the table with glasses, a big bucket of ice, clipped the mint as Sawyer showed her, and made it into a bouquet in a little vase. She formed slices of lemon into a flower on a small plate, and because someone was always hungry, created a display of fruit and cheese and crackers. Pleased, she ran upstairs to change into the suit for swimming. She'd only asked for one before she'd started this quest. It made so little sense to swim in clothes, she had only thought to need one. Now she decided she would take some of her shopping money and buy another, or perhaps two more. Clothes were fun and pretty, and one of the best things about having legs. She stepped out of her room as Riley opened the door to hers.
Pool time, Riley announced.
Sawyer and Doyle are already down there.
Oh, can I see?
Riley shrugged, gestured to the terrace doors.
Go ahead.
She dashed over, saw Sawyer and Doyle sitting by the pool, facing each other in talk. On the lawn, Bran stood with Sasha as she set up her easel. Simple joy radiated in her voice as she called out,
Hello!
Sawyer looked up, smiled. She loved his smile, so quick, so bright, and waved at her. Leading with that joy, she leapt onto the rail, dived. She heard Sawyer shout something, did an easy, happy roll, and slid blissfully into the pool.
Merda!
He jumped in, ready to drag out her unconscious body when she surfaced, laughing.
Christ, Annie, you could have broken your neck.
After slicking back her hair, she blinked in curiosity.
How?
It's not that deep, and from that height you could have hit your head on the bottom.
Why would I do that? My head knows where the bottom is.
Looked like fun.
Riley leaned on the rail above.
It is fun.
Humans might know where the bottom is, Sawyer told her. But they can't slow their descent or pull up when they hit the water the way you can.
Annika looked up at Riley.
You shouldn't dive from there.
Got it.
Annika took Sawyer's hand, tugged him in a little deeper.
We can have a race. Racing is fun.
Yeah, like any of us has a shot against you.
I could swim backward.
And still, Sawyer said as Doyle let out a snort. But okay, challenge accepted.
He went back to the end, waited for her to roll onto her back.
Ready? Go.
He gave it some power, counting off seconds in his head. And when he slapped the other end, she was already sitting on the side of the pool, casually squeezing water out of her braid.
Show off.
Showing off is fun.
He thrilled her by pulling her back into the pool.
Bare skin.
His hands, for just a brush on her hips. His eyes laughing into hers, then not. Like the brush of hands, only a moment. Not laughing, but looking deep. And his face close, close enough for lips to meet. Then he let her go, let the water separate them.
Leg race next time, on land. My legs are very strong and very fast.
Yeah, we'll check that out, Aqua Girl.
When he sank below the surface, she swam over him, then down to skim along the bottom until she could quiet the longing. When she surfaced, she stretched out to float. She heard the voices, the splash of Riley diving in. It was like her dream, she thought, all her friends together with the sun and the water. And that was enough for the day. Even the work was like the dream, all her friends together with Bran's magic. His magic was so pretty, so bright and strong. They swept away all the dark, laid light with the powdered crystals and bespelled water. Then, with a shield from human eyes beyond the wall of trees, he rose up to spread the protection from the top of the house to the ground below. "I didn't know it would be beautiful," Sasha murmured, gazing up at him.
"Irish has style."
Riley draped an arm around her shoulders. "We did all this in Corfu, but I've gotta say, it doesn't get old. Okay, inside or out for war council? We're as protected out here as in there, and it's too nice to sit inside, even for war."
"Agreed.
I need to finish the new chart for chores. I'll do that tonight, but I'll take dinner. It would be nice to have war talk over, as much as it ever is, before we eat.
I've got some maps upstairs."
"I can fold the laundry now," Annika said. "Should there be wine?"
"Baby."
Riley swung her arm away from Sasha, over Annika.
"There should always be wine. Let's get started."
Annika sat while the others pored over the maps. Riley pointed out caves she knew or had researched. Doyle showed them others he remembered from long ago.
"Do you know any underwater caves, Annika?" Sawyer asked. "Any we don't have marked?"
"We only came here." She reached out to touch a spot on the north of the island. "The Grotta Azura. It's tradition to bathe in the blue light. But we didn't stay or seek other places. So many people, you see. There are other places not so inhabited." "Did you hear the sighs or the songs when you came with your family?" Sasha wondered. "No, but I didn't listen. I was young and it was beautiful and exciting. I had no purpose. I could look from the sea."
"Not alone."
Reaching over, Bran touched her hand.
"No one ventures alone. We know she'll come and send her dogs. The attacks will come on land, from the air, in the water, as they did before. We have to prepare for that. No one ventures alone. We're more closed in here than we were at the villa."
Doyle looked around, scanning trees, roof lines.
"Advantage and disadvantage. We have less area to defend, but less room to maneuver. The light bombs took out swarms of the dogs. Actually, calling them dogs is an insult to dogs.
I like Sasha's minions."
"Minions, then," he said with a nod to Riley. "She'll send them again. Losing them means nothing to her. She'll just send more. Can you use the light bombs on the bolts, on the bullets and blades?"
Bran sat back, arched his eyebrows.
"That's interesting. I can work on that. Sure, I can work on that."
"You wounded the... was it a Cerberus, Riley?"
"Three-headed hound of hell. Sure looked like one."
"You wounded it," Sasha continued. "And hurt and frightened her. Aged her. I can't see what weapon she'll forge, but she needs something to combat what you can do at full force."
"What we could do," Bran reminded her. "I wouldn't have been strong enough without you."
"It's a good thing you don't have to do without me. Still, it took all we had to hold her off."
"And kick her ass," Sawyer added. "She ran. You beat a god. We beat a god and her minions. And it's not cocky to say we're going to do the same thing here, whatever she brings. But I wouldn't say no to a load of magic bullets." "There's good cover in the grove," Doyle pointed out. "We make our stands there rather than out in the open."
"Add some surprises in the open," take some of them out, Riley calculated.
She spread that mist on the ground. It bit.
Now Sasha judged the distance to the grove.
We can set off the light bombs from there. Bolt, bullet, blade. Magic.
I can do this with my bracelets, Annika pointed out.
It's a plan.
Riley reached for her wine.
Covers land and air. Now water. Harpoons, knives, a magic assist, Sawyer added. And mermaid.
Annika smiled. My bracelets also work well in the water, and I'm faster there than anywhere else.
We've never asked, Sasha began. How do you communicate with your family, with others like you?
Oh, it's...
Annika touched her head, her heart.
You think, you feel.
We can speak, but it's often without voice.
I see where you're going.
Riley leaned toward Annika.
How about other sea life? Fish, whale, that sort of thing.
We have understandings. They don't think as we do. Though the whale can be wise, and the dolphin is smart and clever. But fish, they forget quickly.
Dory.
When Annika looked blank, Sawyer explained.
From a movie. We'll stream it sometime. They're wondering if you can maybe sense the bad guys. Underwater.
Oh, I don't know. They are not fish, not mammal, not people. They're other. But I can try. I will try. She set her jaw.
It would help.
An early warning system. Otherwise, we do what we've done.
Sawyer glanced around the table.
Buddy system. Stick together. Do the work. If things get too dicey, I can shift us. We should have a secondary location. If we have to travel from the water, we'd come here. But if we have to travel from here...
How about Monte Tiberio? Riley suggested. High ground.
If that works, I'll get the coordinates. Meanwhile...
Sawyer took out the compass, opened the bronze case. When he set it on the map, it glowed, shimmered in place on Capri, but didn't move.
Gotta work for it,
he said, and pocketed it again.
I'll start just that.
Bran rose.
Bullets, bolts, and blades. And bracelets. Interesting.
I'll dig into research, see if I can find out anything about size, songs, more underwater caves. Riley pushed to her feet.
Do you want the map? She asked Doyle.
Maybe later.
I'll get dinner started. Sasha pushed a loose pin back into her bundled up hair.
Can you help, Annika?
Yes, I like to help.
When Sasha and Annika went inside, Doyle leaned back with his beer, looked at Sawyer.
Happiest siren I've ever seen. Nobody would blame you for moving on that. She doesn't. I don't think she gets that. It's like hitting on somebody's little sister from Venus. Looks all grown up to me, but you're cool. How about we take a walk past the grove, see what, if anything, we might want to fortify. Good thought.
While they ate under the stars, André Malmont adjusted his formal tie. He expected the evening ahead to be a tedious bore, but duty called. He rarely answered when duty called, already regretting doing so now. Still, there was a potential for new contacts at this dull charity affair. Contacts were never boring. He wanted something new, something exciting. So little excited him these days. What hadn't he done after all? What hadn't he seen? What couldn't he have simply by flicking his fingers? His last two adventures, he never called them jobs, though he charged exorbitant fees for his services, had barely amused him. So little challenge. The woman he was currently seeing had begun to annoy him just by existing, as did the whore he used for more inventive play.
He expected he'd dispose of them both very soon. He had offers pending, of course, but none stirred his juices. Murder? Easily done, but he no longer killed for a fee, unless the kill offered him personal pleasure. Theft? Sometimes intriguing, but again, why steal for someone else? He'd rather steal for himself, and couldn't at the moment think of a single thing worth the effort. Kidnappings, brainwashings, mutilations. Ho-hum. Of course, there was the standing offer of $50 million for a unicorn, or its horn. Money couldn't buy sanity. If he got bored enough, he might take the time and effort to have a fake horn fabricated. But that was scraping the barrel clean. He passed a hand over his hair, gilded blonde, perfect waves, around a handsome face with a sharply sculpted mouth, a thin nose, and deceptively quiet blue eyes. Perhaps he'd kill Magda, his current amore. Not the whore, whores weren't worth the killing. But Magda, the heiress with the hint of royal blood. Magda, the beautiful and serene. He could stage a murder mutilation, add touches of the occult and sexual perversion. Such a scandal. It might perk him right up. He scowled at the knock on his bedroom door, turned when it opened.
I'm sorry, Mr. Malmont. You'll be sorrier.
His voice, cold and British, carried a whip of temper.
I expressly told you not to disturb me. Yes, sir. There's a woman here to see you.
He stepped forward.
What does not to disturb mean to you, Nigel? She's waiting in the drawing room.
Nigel, stoic and discreet, offered a card. Incensed, Malmont started to strike it away, but the look in his butler's eyes stopped him. Blank, next to dead. He merely stood, staring, the card held out. Malmont snatched the card, the glossy black rectangle with the bold red lettering of a single name. Nereza.
What does she want? To speak with you, sir. She got past the gate, past Lucien, past you. Yes, sir. Shall I serve refreshments? No, you bloody well won't serve refreshments. Go hang yourself, Nigel.
And pushing past the butler, Malmont started down to the parlor. He felt annoyed, certainly, but he was also curious. He hadn't been curious for days. He checked the derringer up his right sleeve. He never went anywhere, not even inside his own homes, unarmed. And since Lucien appeared to be as useless as Nigel, walked into the parlor. She turned. She smiled. She was a vision. He couldn't have said her beautiful, but beauty blinded him. Dark hair swept in coils over her shoulders, made all the more striking by a streak of white bolting through the black. And black were her eyes, black and wide and mesmerizing against pale white skin. Lips red as blood curved knowingly. She wore black as well, a dress that molded her tall, stately form.
Monsieur Malmont.
She walked toward him, glided without a sound. And her voice, faintly exotic, caused his heart to trip.
Je m'appelle Nereza. Mademoiselle.
He took the offered hand, touched his lips to her knuckles, and felt a thrill like no other.
Do we speak English? We are in England after all. As you wish. Please, sit, mademoiselle. Nereza, please.
With a slither of skirt, she sat.
We will be good friends, you and I. Will we?
He struggled for aplomb, but his heart raced, his blood pounded.
Then we should begin our friendship with a drink.
Of course. He walked to the bar, poured whiskey for two. Taking charge, taking control, he thought, by not asking what she'd prefer. He came back, sat across from her, They touched glasses.
And what brings you to me, Nereza?
Your reputation, of course. You're the man I need, André. She sipped, watching him.
You will be the one I need, and for my needs, when fulfilled, I can offer you more than anything you've had, dreamed of having.
I have much, have dreamed of more.
If it's money, I have all you require. But there are things worth more than gold and silver.
Such as?
We'll speak of that. But tonight we'll speak of stars. What do you know of the stars of fortune?
A myth. 3 stars, fire, water, ice, created by 3 goddesses to honor a young queen, and cursed by another.
Her lips curved into a smile sharp enough to slice bone. What do you think of myths?
That many are uncommonly real.
As these are real, these stars, I assure you.
I want them.
You will find them and bring them to me. Her eyes were bottomless, lured him into the black. But pride demanded he resist.
Will I?
You will. 6 stand in your way.
No one stands in my way for long.
So I have seen, or I would not waste my time or yours. If you accept the challenge, if you wish to know what I will give you in return, come to the address on my card, tomorrow, at midnight.
There's no address on the card.
She smiled, rose. Come there, and know your own fortune. Until then. She glided out before he had the wit to stand. But when he strode to the doorway, she was gone, as if she'd vanished. He pulled the card out of his pocket, saw he'd been wrong. An address was clearly printed on the card. Fascinated, baffled, more than a little unnerved, he pressed the house intercom.
Lucien.
Sir.
Where did she go?
I'm sorry, sir. Where did who go?
The woman. The woman in black, you idiot. Who else? Why did you let her in without permission?
Sir, no one has come to the house tonight. I let no one inside.
Furious, he strode away, calling for Nigel. His anger grew until he stormed downstairs, following temper into the butler's apartment. When he saw Nigel hanging from his parlor chandelier, he stopped dead and laughed. He was no longer bored. Chapter 3. With dawn came the soft, shimmering light and the diamond drops of dew on the glass. And with dawn came calisthenics. Annika liked calisthenics. She liked dropping down and giving Doyle 20. The squats and lunges, the shuffles and the jumping jacks were like dancing. The moans and grunts and pants, especially from Sasha, always made her laugh. Sawyer called Doyle a fucking drill sergeant, and that made her laugh too. She understood the fuck word was a curse, so versatile, and used a lot during calisthenics. She understood drill was a tool, but the only sergeants she knew were the sergeant majors, the name land people gave the little striped fish who liked swimming in the reef. Imagining big, handsome Doyle as a little fish boring into coral made her laugh through her pull-ups. What's so funny? Sweaty, face pink from exertion, Sasha scowled as she braced for her own pull-ups.
Doyle is a drill sergeant major, Sawyer said.
Sasha sneered over at Doyle, who stood signaling her to start.
You're now a fish, she called out to him. Then mumbled, God help me.
She did one cleanly, a second one reasonably well, and a third very shakily, her face going toward red with effort, wet with fresh sweat. Her arms visibly trembled. Annika started to applaud, and Sasha hissed,
I've got one more. God damn it. Annika held her breath because Sasha made a sound of awful pain, almost a scream. But her friend pulled up on her trembling arms, managed the force before she dropped to the ground in a panting heap.
"Good job," Doyle told her. "Sloppy form, but gutsy. Shoot for 5 tomorrow."
"Shoot for 5, my butt. I might shoot you tomorrow."
"That's the spirit."
Reaching down, he hauled her to her feet and out of the way.
"You're up, Gwyn."
Riley sat, did a smooth dozen in the time it had taken Sasha to strain out 4. "I might shoot you too," Sasha said darkly. "I might just be in the mood for a double homicide." "You did 4, Annika reminded her. "The first time you couldn't do even 1, but today you did 4.
"Yeah, yeah."
Then Sasha blew out a long breath. "Yeah," she said in a stronger tone. "And tomorrow I'll shoot for 5. They had breakfast and did the morning chores Sasha had listed on the new chart. Then it was time to hike to the marina. Annika wanted to run. She could barely wait to dive into the sea. But she liked watching how Bran and Sasha held hands, or how Doyle and Riley argued over who would drive the boat. The air smelled beautiful, with the breeze bringing scents of sea and flowers, of the lemons, of the grass. The walk provided gardens to admire, the flight of birds, and time with Sawyer. "Will you take pictures in the water?"
"Yeah, I'm set for it."
"If you taught me how to use the camera, I could take pictures of you. When you take them, you aren't in the picture."
"I got a couple selfies."
He demonstrated by holding his arm out, pretended to click a camera. "Oh, that's clever."
"But I can teach you. Never hurts to have a backup for documenting."
"Then I can help you take pictures in the water, and out of the water. I hope we can walk in the hills." She gestured toward the mountains. "I know we might find her there, have to fight her there. And the quest is the most important. But the walk would be exciting and new. All the things to see we haven't seen before." He gave her a shoulder bump she knew was a sign of affection.
"Gotta have the bright side."
"The bright side helps us face the dark."
"Can't argue."
"In the last battle, I was afraid. I believe we'll win. We'll do what we're meant to do. But I was afraid." In a gesture she knew was affection and comfort, he brushed her arm with his hand. It made her want to sigh.
"We're all afraid, Ani."
Surprised, she looked up at him. "No one seemed afraid but me."
"Every last one of us," he corrected. "If we weren't afraid, we'd be crazy. You know what courage is."
He said it, didn't ask it, but she nodded. "It's bravery. It's facing the dark."
"That's right. It's facing the dark, even when you're afraid. That's every one of us, too."
She tipped her head toward his shoulder, knowing since he thought her brave, she could be braver still. "Why don't you have a mate?"
I've had to move around a lot. Getting to this point, it's taken some doing."
"But there was sex." He took off his hat, swiped his fingers through the thick, streaky blonde hair she wanted to swipe hers through. After he settled the hat again, he pushed his hands into his pockets.
"You know, if you want to know about that kind of thing, you should talk to Riley or Sasha."
"Oh, I know about sex. It's not so different in my world. We can have sex as we like. It's a bright side."
He had to laugh. "Definitely qualifies."
"But when we find our mate, when we pledge, there's no other after. Like Bran and Sasha, there is only one."
"That's nice. It's what most people hope for."
"So there has been sex for you, but no mate."
"There you go."
The way went narrow, with buildings closing in. He distracted her from talk of sex by pointing to a shop window. "Oh, we can come back to shop. I have the itch."
"Tell me, you've always got a shopping itch."
No, no. The payment. The scratch.
Though he grinned, he draped an arm over her shoulders to steer her away from a shop window.
Right.
Look at the pretty food.
Pastries and little cakes, pretty as jewels, tempted behind the glass.
We should definitely grab some pastries to take home. And down there, gelato.
What is it?
Outstanding.
Outstanding, she repeated as they navigated the steep, narrow street.
Sawyer took her hand. The retail shops might not be open yet, but he'd had the experience of shopping with her in Corfu, and knew she could run off impulsively, like a terrier after a squirrel.
I'll buy you a gelato on the way back, he promised.
Thank you.
But we've got to head straight to the boat now.
This village? It's all very big and very small. They have vegetables and fruit there. She pointed to a stand. Look at the colors, the shapes. I don't know what some of them are. Are they all for eating?
Yeah, some as they are. Some you want to cook first.
She looked at everything, absorbed everything. He found it part of her charm. She ran her fingers over the walls of buildings to test the texture. Would surely have run after a stray cat if he hadn't had a good grip on her. But he managed to steer her along, keep up with the others as they passed people sitting at tables outside cafes with their little breakfast cakes and strong coffee, through a cluster of colorful homes, beyond the hotels with their awnings and umbrellas, and toward the boats and piers and docks.
There.
Riley pointed toward a boat, much like they'd used in Corfu. The, Annika had to dig for the name, but found it. The rigid hulled inflatable. Then Riley nodded toward a skinny man with a lot of teeth who walked toward them. The many teeth and a wide, wide smile made Annika think of a shark.
I've got this.
Riley strode forward, began an animated conversation in Italian. Annika recognized some of the words, and some of them were rude ones. Sasha took out her sketchbook and started to draw the world around the marina, the spread of awnings, tables, buildings, the stack of buildings climbing up to the tall, tall hills.
He wants more money, Doyle told them. She's telling him, in various ways, to stick it.
Obviously confident in Riley winning the day, Doyle swung onto the boat.
She said, Annika struggled for the words, something about his ass and a hole.
Anna laughed, Sawyer tugged her toward the boat.
She called him an asshole. It's an insult. An asshole makes a bargain, then tries not to keep it, among other asshole behavior.
Riley came back, and the skinny man didn't show as many teeth.
Fabio, my team. Team? Fabio. The dive club's just down there. Fabio's graciously agreed to give me a hand with the equipment, but we could use a couple more.
I'll go with you. Come va, Fabio.
Fabio showed Sawyer more teeth.
Bene. I'll go with them.
Bran kissed Sasha on the forehead, strolled away with Sawyer. It didn't take long. They wheeled back the tanks and the wetsuits and the equipment the others needed to survive under the water. And a cooler full of ice and water, and even some of the fruit juices she liked, and the Cokes. She liked them too. While they loaded it, secured it, there was a lot of talk in Italian, but without the rude words now. And at last, they were all on board, and skinny Fabio released the ropes that held them to the dock. Riley tapped two fingers to the brim of her hat.
Ciao, Fabio.
You fuckhead, she added in a mutter.
A fuckhead is an asshole?
Riley tipped down her shady glasses so her tawny eyes laughed into Annika's.
A fuckhead is a really big asshole. My friend Anna Maria, who is neither asshole nor fuckhead, says we can moor the RIB at the dive club while we're here. It'll make loading and unloading easier.
Riley walked forward to what they called a wheelhouse, where Doyle worked the controls. I pilot today, remember?
Just getting us away from the fuckhead.
But he stepped aside, gave her the wheel. Then they were skimming over the water, nearly as good as being in its heart. Doyle stepped out of the wheelhouse to go over the equipment.
I don't need the tank, Annika began.
Better if you gear up, like the rest of us. We could run into other divers, Sawyer explained. People would notice if you're diving without equipment.
So I just pretend?
That's right.
I can do that.
We stick together,
Bran reminded them as Annika stripped down to her bathing suit. And as Sawyer tried not to watch her strip down.
However unlikely Nereza has found us this quickly, we can't take chances. Everybody stays in sight.
He glanced toward Sasha.
I don't feel anything, but I appreciate everyone keeping me in sight, in case I start any underwater dreamwalking.
I'll look out for you, Annika told her.
I know you will.
We'll say, as it worked before, Sawyer and Annika at point, Sasha and I behind, and Doyle and Riley at flank. All right. Works for me.
Sawyer zipped up his wetsuit.
First time I've started a dive knowing I'm swimming with a mermaid.
He grinned at Annika.
Adds to it. But keep the legs, gorgeous,
Doyle warned as Riley turned inland toward high cliffs.
I promise, unless there is an attack.
Speaking of, any luck on the bolts, bullets, and blades?
Doyle asked as he hefted a harpoon.
Considerable, but it needs work yet. A few more days, then we'll see. For now, should we say one harpoon to each set of bodies? With Sasha's skills with a crossbow, I'd say she's the one in ours.
Oh.
Doyle passed her the harpoon.
Can you handle it?
Sasha frowned at it, tested its weight.
Yes, I can do this. I don't want one, Annika said immediately.
It's okay, I've got it. Sawyer, Sasha.
Doyle looked toward the wheelhouse and Riley.
You want to argue over who mans the harpoon?
We'll switch off. I pilot, you take the harpoon. You pilot, I take it.
Fair enough.
Riley stopped the boat, pointed. First cave on today's list is at about 2 o'clock, and about 12 feet under to the entrance. A narrow channel opens up into a canyon after about 40 feet. It's a tricky dive for a novice.
I'll be fine, Sasha stated, pulling on her wetsuit.
You passed novice stage in Corfu. After stripping down, Riley reached for her own wetsuit. The mouth's small. We have to go in single file, and it's easy to miss.
I can find it.
Geared up, Annika sat on the side of the boat. Then, doing what she wanted most at that moment, she rolled backward into the sea. Though the pull was to go down and down, she surfaced immediately. It was enough for now, just to feel the sea around her. She waved to the others.
You've got to give us a minute here.
On deck, Riley hauled on her tanks. Content, Annika swam around the boat, under it, careful to keep in sight, to stay aware, but basking in the feel of home. When she circled again, she saw Sawyer. He pointed to his camera, so she posed, turning upside down as if doing a handstand. She felt Sasha enter the water, then Bran. Moments later, Riley and Doyle. At Bran's signal, she flipped around, swam ahead. But not fast, she reminded herself, pacing herself with Sawyer. Tuning herself to the others as she would to a school of fish or others like her. Unknowing. Fish swam by without a thought for them. She felt the slow pulse of a starfish that slept on a rock, heard the quiet fanning of seagrasses. She felt Sawyer's heartbeat, not so slow as the starfish, but steady and calm. His movements and the others came to her like whispers. Deeper yet, she saw the mouth, gestured, but realized the others couldn't see it as she did. So she gestured again, continued to go down. She waited until the others were ready before sliding into the opening. Fearless, Sawyer thought. In the water, she was fearless and impossibly graceful. She moved through the narrow channel like the water itself, in a flow. The walls narrowed, barely wide enough for a man to pass, and the light went murky. In that narrow space, in that murky light, she turned, swimming backward. Though he couldn't see her face, he knew she smiled, probably counted heads before she turned again, continued on. He saw an eel curled along a crevice in the rock, and hoped it stayed where it was. He wasn't fond of anything resembling snakes. The walls widened, then opened into the canyon. There, the light shifted, just enough. He could see, high above, openings in the cliff that let the light leak through. They spread out, two by two, to search. More, he thought, hoping Sasha might sense something as she had with the fire star. He looked for anything unusual, a formation of rock, a change in the water, a flicker of light. He nearly panicked when he lost sight of Annika, circled fast. He pulled out his knife, started to wrap the hilt against rock to draw the attention of the others. Then saw her rising up from the dark below. She took his hands quickly, squeezed them, released them to rub hers on his cheeks. Doyle signaled time. Annika took Sawyer's hand again, tugged him toward the channel, then slipped into it ahead of him. By the time he hauled himself onto the boat, she'd pulled off her mask.
Your heart beats so fast.
What?
In the canyon, at the end, it beat.
She slapped her hand rapidly on her own heart.
Why?
I couldn't find you.
I was right under you, just deeper to look. I could always see you.
I couldn't see you. We couldn't see you, he added.
Oh.
She unhooked her tank.
I forgot. I forgot you can't see the way I do in the water. I'm sorry.
Sorry for what? Riley pulled herself on board.
I went deeper and didn't stay in sight. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I could see all of you, but went beyond what you can see in the water. I made Sawyer's heart beat fast.
Riley smiled over Annika's shoulder as she helped Annika take off the tanks. I bet it's not the first time.
Funny. How do you know my heart beat fast when you were deeper and out of sight?
I can feel it. In the water, I can... It's not feel like I can feel your hand, she said, taking his. But I can feel it.
Interesting.
Glancing at her, Bran threw open the cooler.
You can feel heartbeats of living things when you're in the water.
Yes. Or is sense the better word?
No.
And you can see much farther than we can,
Bran continued.
I forgot that. I could feel sense Sasha's heart on that day in Corfu, and know where to look, and see her. The legs weren't fast enough, so I needed to change them.
But even with the legs, you can feel and see? Riley grabbed a Coke, tossed Sasha a juice.
In the water. Are you angry? She asked Sawyer.
No, I'm not mad. You just gave me a jolt. Remember, we're buddies down there.
She sat beside him, tipped her head to his shoulder.
I'll be a better buddy.
Good enough. How'd you do, Sasha?
I was fine. I can't say I much like those tight openings, but I did fine. But I didn't feel anything, unlike Annika.
Let's cross it off.
Slicking her cap of hair back, Riley guzzled water.
And hit the next.
We should be able to do three today, all of them in this general area. We've got others to try on the east coast, and down to the south. But we can finish up this section today. Sawyer figured Annika could have dived all day and half the night, but the rest of them put in a solid 5 hours under the water, on the boat, with a short break for a quick lunch. They found nothing but the appeal of sea life.